Well, in the 3rd century, Saint Gregory the Great decided that the Easter season should not just be a season of celebration on the back end of Resurrection Sunday, but that we should prepare our hearts for the resurrection of Jesus. And that season on the church calendar is called Lent. And that's what begins today on Ash Wednesday. Ashes in Scripture were a sign of mourning and were a sign of repentance. And so we take the next 40 days, excluding Sunday, because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. So we take the next 40 days to repent, to turn towards God, to turn back towards God. And we celebrate this season, or we, maybe better said, we enter into this season through fasting, through giving, and through prayer. And so there are, yes, definitely things we want to give up for the Lent season. My Grandpa Garlock always would joke and say that he was going to give up watermelon for Lent because watermelon's not in season this time of year, so that was not a hard thing for him to do. But I do think it's important as we enter into this season to not just give up things, but to take on good things, to replace the things that we lay down with things that Christ would hand us. So if you're giving up something that takes up a lot of your time, then maybe you can spend that extra time that you have in prayer and in Scripture. So whatever the Lord is laying on your heart to surrender more to Him in these next 40 days, I encourage you to say yes to the Holy Spirit's work in your life and to live lives of surrender. I told our Sunday morning crowd, and maybe that's what ran all of them off for tonight, I told them that our prayer in the Lenten season is that we begin some spiritual disciplines. And I know that word discipline doesn't sound good, but the hope is that we enter into some spiritual disciplines in the next 40 days that become to us habits that will eventually become to us a lifestyle, that we will begin to live out our faith, denying ourselves, as Jesus would say, taking up our cross daily and following after Him. And it would just become a second nature to us. I do want to share some thoughts from Scripture tonight for us. And the title of my message is Get Out to Get In. Get out to get in. And our text is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18, verse 28 through 30. Scripture says these words. Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything we owned and followed you, didn't we?" "Yes," said Jesus. "You won't regret it. No one who has sacrificed home, spouse, brothers and sisters, parents, children, whatever, will lose out. It will all come back multiplied many times over in your lifetime, and then the bonus of eternal life." Will you pray with me, and then we'll talk from this verse for the next few minutes. Father God, we thank you for this season of the year as we take this opportunity to turn our attention, to turn our minds, to turn our hearts back towards you. As we take this opportunity to repent and to lay some things down, some baggage that we've picked up along the way, God, we want to take the next 40 days and lay that baggage down at your feet. We thank you that you've called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And we thank you for your amazing love that you've demonstrated towards us. May we love you more. I pray all these things in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So there are things that God calls us away from. And he does this out of love. God calls us away from some things, twofold, I think, so that we can experience more of who he is. You know, we make this statement sometimes around Christmas time that we need to make room for Jesus, right? We're playing on that Christmas narrative where Mary and Joseph show up to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn. So around Christmas time, we talk about making room for Jesus. And that's why God certainly calls us out of something so that we have more room for Him in our life. But secondly, I think that God calls us away from some things because He wants to grow us up. He wants to mature us. Simply said, He wants us to become who we were created to be. Last week at our Bible study, we grasped onto that narrative in Romans 12 where Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he uses that Greek word metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis from. And so to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, to be transformed in who we're created to be. So there's things that we have to get out of so that we can get in to the place where Jesus has us to be. And I want to use a few examples from Scripture. I don't want to talk too long tonight. I'm going to do my best. But I think about Simon Peter. In Matthew 14, Jesus comes walking out on the water, and he tells Simon Peter to get out of the boat and to walk on the water with him. In that story, the disciples are kind of questioning, who is this figure out on the water? Some are saying it's a spirit. They're kind of confused. They're at a loss of what they see in front of them. But Jesus calls Simon out of the boat. And I think for us during the Lenten season, if our hearts are open to hear and to receive what Jesus would say to us, He might be calling some of us out of the boat. He might be telling some of us to get out of our comfort zone and to be the person that we are created to be. He might be telling some of us, you know, I've had times in my life where Jesus will I'll have an out-of-the-boat experience. He'll say, hey, come this direction, and I don't want to go that direction. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. We see that phrase in the narrative in Matthew 14 where we see it over and over in the New Testament where Jesus says, do not be afraid. Well, it's easy to be afraid when Jesus asks you to walk on the water with Him, isn't it? And so what I can be guilty of sometimes in my life is I'll hear the voice of Jesus calling me to get out of the boat, and I'll put my one little tootsie in the water just as a test run. See how that feels, see how that goes. But I think Jesus calls us out of our comfort zone, not so that we can get one foot wet, but so we can dive into the person that He has created us to be. This is what the kids would call full send. This is both feet out of the boat and into the water with Jesus. And we know from that story that when Jesus calls us to get out of our comfort zone or to get out of our boat, that doesn't mean that everything is going to go perfect. And that doesn't mean that we're going to handle the situation perfectly. How many remember that Peter is, he gets out of the boat, both feet, he's walking on the water towards Jesus, but Scripture says that he gets his eyes off Jesus and he sees the winds and the storms boisterous around him, and Peter begins to sink. So this call out of our comfort zone doesn't mean that it's going to be sunshine and roses. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work out how we think things ought to work out. But what it does mean is that Jesus joins us in the water. And when Peter begins to sink, as he gets out of his comfort zone, as he gets both feet out onto the water with Jesus, he begins to sink and he says, save me. Oh, that's what the Lent season is all about. The Lenten season is all about a cry of save me that is eventually and finally and fully answered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I always have trouble on Ash Wednesday not skipping forward to resurrection. It's hard for me to stay right here. But we have this God who, yes, calls us out of our comfort zone to walk on the water with Him. And even when we fall short, even when we fail, even when things don't go exactly as planned, we have this Savior who does not forsake us, but reaches out and saves us one more time. But we have to get out in order to get in. What if Peter's faith wouldn't allow him to step out of his comfort zone? What if Peter's faith kept him on the boat? He would have never walked on the water with Jesus. I shudder to think the opportunities that I've missed out on in my life because I refuse to get out of the boat. I refuse to get out of my comfort zone and walk on the water with Jesus. So maybe during the Lenten season, God will ask you to get out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. Maybe point number two, Jesus will ask you to get out of your own way. Have you ever been in your own way? We find a story of a rich young ruler who is in his own way in Mark 10:17. And I want to read this story to you. And as they were going out on the road, one came running and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, do not bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and your mother." And this one answered Jesus saying, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me." But the young man was sad at his words and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This young man has a great start. He comes running to Jesus. I can almost see it as the way that the prodigal son ran back to father's house. And he's running to meet Jesus with great earnestness and with great expectation. He comes to find Jesus. And the first thing we see out of this young man's life is that he recites all the things that he's good at. You know, Jesus lists off those commandments and the young man says, "I've done all that. I've got that Christian morality on lock. You don't have to teach me anything about the law. I do it perfectly." And I've heard preachers stand up and say, "Oh, that's the young man's first trouble is that he was a liar because there's nobody that's keeping that law perfect." But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't deny that this young man has kept all of these things from his youth. Here's what I believe. Part of getting in our own way is depending on our own goodness. That if we think that what makes us right and righteous before God is how good of a person we are, or how much I help my neighbor, or how much scripture that I read, or how much time I spend in prayer, then we're missing out on the point of the grace of God. Scripture says that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works. It is a gift. And this young man comes to Jesus, and it looks to me like he is very self-dependent. He's in his own way. His own goodness, his own righteous deeds are standing between him and Christ. So I believe that surrendering all that we are, or maybe better said, getting out of our own way, is surrendering everything to Jesus. Our strengths, yes, of course, but also our weaknesses. What does Jesus tell this young man? "One thing you lack. You've done well, you've kept all those commandments, but there's still one thing that is needed. One thing you lack." My prayer for myself during this Lenten season is the one thing that I lack, or the two things that I lack, or maybe the 100 things that I lack. I can find space to surrender all that I am over to the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we find in this narrative in Scripture is that this young man is dependent on his own goodness. He is very willing to recite his strengths over to the care of Jesus, but he is not willing to reconcile his weaknesses. He is not willing to surrender that one thing that he lacks. Now, we could stand here today and try to figure out, you know, why this young man was unwilling to give all that he had. But I think sometimes Scripture is ambiguous for us so that we can put ourselves in the story. What is the one thing that I lack? Why am I unwilling to surrender all over to the care of Jesus? So Jesus' call to this young man was to sell all that he had and give it to the poor. Maybe this young man thought that the poor didn't deserve all that he had. Maybe he had made an idol out of his possessions. We talked about that at the funeral dinner, didn't we? Maybe he had made an idol out of his possessions, and he was dependent on them or worshiping them more than he was worshiping God. But Scripture doesn't blatantly tell us that, because Jesus is inviting us into the story. He's inviting us to open our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit and say, God, what is the one thing that I lack? What is the one thing that you are calling me to surrender over to your care? So Lent is, yes, of course, about getting out of the boat or getting out of our comfort zone, becoming uncomfortable for the call of Christ. But it's also about getting out of our own way, to understand, as we'll say in a moment as you come forward, to remember that we are dust, and to dust we will return. And it's only by the grace of God that we live and move and have our being. Finally, God calls us during the season of Lent to get out of our own self-will. And there's no better illustration in all of Scripture for any point that I would ever try to preach than Jesus himself. He is our example, that we would follow in his steps. And so we find this very familiar story in Matthew 26, 38 of Jesus right before his passion. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he has asked his closest disciples to watch and pray with him. In fact, in verse 38, Jesus says to his disciples, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And verse 39 says that Jesus went a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine." Lent is a season of stepping out of our own self-will. Something interesting happens in this prayer, and if we're not careful, we'll just skip right over it. Jesus, when he talks about God the Father, he is always calling him our Father, right? That's how he taught us to pray, our Father. And that is so beautiful. Because of all the things Jesus could have taught us of how to address the creator of the universe, right? He didn't say, bow your face low. Make sure you're humbled. No, he said, like a little child, go to God and say, our Father. But rarely, on just a handful of occasions, only two or three are coming to mind, does Jesus refer to God the Father as my Father. But here, as Jesus surrenders to the will of the Father, he refers to him as my Father. What's he say? My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. The season of Lent is an invitation to come out of self-will and grasp on to the Father's will. It's an invitation to step out of the illusion of control. That is something that I struggle with in my life, this illusion of control, to think that I've got it all together and all planned out and I can micromanage things right down to the very last detail. And that works until it doesn't. Lent is a season, it's an invitation to be free. My friends, there is freedom in surrender. There is freedom in handing over the illusion of control to the care of Jesus. I don't know if you like any of my theological quotes, so let me give you this one. It was Carrie Underwood that said, "Jesus, take the wheel." And that is surrendering the illusion of control, and with giving the wheel over to Jesus, we find freedom. because I don't have to worry about where the next turn is. I don't have to worry about the speed limit. I can sit back and relax and let Jesus take me where Jesus wants me to go. And finally, I think that surrendering or getting out of self-will is to surrender to the one who knows better than I do. Surrendering my self-will is truly an act of, and here's the key word, trust. I can trust in God. Can I say this? You can trust God with your life. You can trust God with your family. You can trust God with your job situation. You can trust God with that big decision that needs to be made. You can trust God. Getting out of self-will is an act of trust. It's trust that God knows better than I know. And He does. The Apostle Paul said it this, and we'll conclude here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." So how do I enter into those good things that God has prepared for those who love Him? Well, sometimes I have to get out so I can get in. I have to get out of my own self-will, my own righteousness, my own goodness, my own ideas about what I need or want. Sometimes I have to get out of the reality of the one thing that I'm not willing to give up and surrender. And as I get out of those things, I find myself getting in to the will of God, getting into the plan and the purposes of God, getting into created purpose, the things that God has made me for. So, what will God ask you to surrender over to Him during this season of Lent? I think it's probably going to be more than sugar and caffeine. I think if our heart is truly open to the work of the Holy Spirit, that He will show us the one thing that we lack, and that He will call us into a deeper and more intimate place with Him, to know Him and to be known by Him like never before. So I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to do that right now. So I want to say a prayer for you. And right where you sit, if you're willing, would you open up your heart to Jesus and say, "God, what would you have me to surrender over to your care during this season?" Will you pray with me?